This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, yeah. Hello and welcome, everyone. It's the world famous Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. I'm Ben Rogers, joined by Jeff Skin Wade, Jonathan Shippy Shipman, playing hurt through an injury that Sean Sharif could not overcome.
God.
We're also joined by the pride and joy of only Texas, the great Kevin KT Turner. It's all hands on deck in studio today. Now, tomorrow, we will be out and about, and we'd like to invite you to come join us. We're going to be at Pluckers in Dallas off of Lovers in Greenville.
Yes.
We'll be there from 10 to 2. Come have lunch with us at Pluckers. Bring your entire office. Bring your mom. Bring your friends. Bring your coworkers, your neighbors. We want to pack the house tomorrow for lunch at Pluckers.
Ben, we launched our football season, our lunch football season at Pluckers Dallas, right there at the Lovers Greenville location, and it was lit. AF fire in the hole, bro dogs.
What?
So we got it. I don't know what you're saying these days. I'm trying to keep up.
I thought it was good.
Thanks, dog. So why wouldn't we top that? We would be remiss to not try to top that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because it was great doesn't mean we go, look at how great that was. We'll never have to. Let's do it again. Let's do it bigger. Let's do it better. And let's everybody eat wangs tomorrow.
Let's do that. Let's eat all the wangs. And lit what? AF. Is that, that's lighting farts, right?
Yep.
Okay. Savage.
That's what that's about. The savagery continues.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, we got plenty to get into today, including unicorn rankings, the Jason Garrett presser, Kevin Dunn from 104.9 The Horn in Austin. He's going to join us. Mickey Spagnuolo is going to join us. We're all over Cowboys at every angle, but we should probably just kind of kick things around right now by tipping our caps to the great Derek Holland. Happy birthday, Dutch Oven.
Yeah.
It's Derek Holland's birthday.
Yeah.
Still think of him as being a young man in this world. How old is he now?
15? 34?
What?
There's no way, dude.
Yeah.
He's like, 28. Seriously? Speaking of hashtag the savagery continues, great job on that. That needs to trend. That's incredible.
Thank you.
There's no way that dude's
33.
That old.
33.
Oh, man.
He's one of those guys like Kavanaugh who's a lot older than people think he is.
Right.
Yeah.
Kavanaugh's 28, isn't he?
No, not quite.
How old's Kavanaugh?
He's pushing 40, I think.
What?
Isn't he like 35?
I thought he was 50.
He's like 35, isn't he?
I thought he was 50.
Does anybody know how old Roy is? I just looked in there.
Roy's my age.
Just saw an aging Ellen leaning over a board.
I think he's 23.
Roy's like 32, I think.
Oh.
I love Roy's take on how we should all just get along with each other regardless of, you know, our, you know, political affiliations and stuff.
I
thought that was a really fantastic
That's
point.
Great. First of all, I was shocked that he was sitting up there with W to have that kind of access, but then the backlash that came back and for Roy to stand up for everybody.
I heard he did the pirate bit with W and W didn't like it.
Oh, no.
Arr, matey.
Yeah. No. When he called himself a liberal Hollywood lesbian, though, I thought that was confusing.
Yeah, I knew exactly what he meant.
Yep.
Okay, we've got lots to get into in terms of tracking the Dallas Cowboys today. Monitoring, not monitoring, but yes, monitoring.
Hold on, Roy just wandered by the window completely oblivious to what we were talking about.
He heard the last parts. He kind of gave a sheepish grin.
He just nodded like, what's up, guys? What are y'all doing in there?
It's cool, Roy. I like girls, too.
All right, so let's do this. Let's trade off. Let's play glass half full, glass half empty pong.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Let's come up with one thing we're optimistic about the Cowboys, and then one thing that we're concerned about.
Okay.
All right. Let's go back and forth. So we'll never double park on optimism or pessimism. And let's start with something that we're optimistic about.
Okay. I'm optimistic that these tackles are going to be ready to go. Okay, I'm optimistic about that. Reverend Jerry came on the air and said that he was optimistic about it, so I'm going to be optimistic about it. Now, as we all know, sometimes he just sprinkles magic dust everywhere so that you don't see the car crash happening right over your to the side. But I'm going to be optimistic that at least one of those dudes can get out there and play, and that would have a huge ripple effect.
Okay, I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to be optimistic that Antoine Woods returns and the run defense has a bit of an improvement over the next 2 weeks heading into the bye.
Wait, you just went back-to-back optimism.
Just forget that he said, hey, can you
dump that? Oh, we're ponging?
Yeah, we're pong. It's okay, pong. Soaping.
Have you ever seen Pong? I mean, you are a young man. You may have never seen video Pong.
Pong's that movie with Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, back and forth.
That's Tron.
Oh. Yeah, I was more of a table tennis guy.
Yeah.
The manual sport, just because I'm athletic.
The manual?
What?
So, do you want me to give a negative one?
No, you've ruined it with the positive.
Shippy, do you... back to you, Kevin.
So here's what Pong.
Yeah. So he went positive. So you hear that sound?
Yeah.
That's how Pong works. He went positive. To go negative.
Oh, my bad.
That's a real pleasing
I will say
sound.
That there's panic at the disco because they had time of possession deficiencies the last 2 weeks where they lost 36-24 in time of possession. And some guy, I don't know, maybe the head coach, sneaks his head in there and says, you know what? We're going back to our old ways, boys. We're running the ball. We're controlling the clock. And I think there's not going to be enough of a sample size to realize that this offense can work the way it's currently constructed rather than the old
way. Was that positive or
negative?
I couldn't tell at the end. I felt like
it's negative.
Okay.
My fear is that there's been such a short leash after two losses and not winning time of possession, that's like, here we go, guys.
He turned it positive, so I'm going to double down on his negative part and point out that the Jets are, like, I think, in the top six or seven in the league in run defense. Because he was trying to make it. He was trying to make it positive and go, hey, we're going to run all over him, guys.
That's a positive for the Jets.
And then he pulled out a pom-pom.
I couldn't tell what.
Yeah, I don't know
what tell what he was doing over there. He came with a negative. You just lost a listener.
I'm going to hear what Norm's doing.
He went negative. I'll go positive.
I am
confident that the Cowboys linebackers are going to respond like a hornet's nest that some punk kid's been throwing rocks at. They're going to come back with a vengeance. Yeah. So I refuse to believe that we've overestimated how good these linebackers are. I think they answer the call, and I think they're going to be better because of what's been happening.
That was one of the five or six greatest speeches I've ever heard, dude. You made me levitate with your Cowboy positivity.
I'm voting for you.
I am too.
Thank you.
I appreciate you.
All right. So you can come with a negative.
Man, guys, Marowich is still on this team.
Oh, man.
Ooh,
the other boy is getting ready to trot out there and shank one when it matters.
Oh, man.
God, does he suck or what?
I mean, dude, easy. He's only missed three.
Oh, he sucks.
He's
kicked three.
He's perfect.
Hey, he's 0 for 3.
Hey, let him be negative. You're ruining what he's saying. He's talking about it being a concern.
Every day we get in here and try to explain to Kevin what we're going to do, and he poops all over it.
Listen,
can I have the wheel back?
Seriously.
The other boy sucks.
I think that's a great point.
Thanks.
And we've known he sucked for a long time. He sucked at camp. We knew he sucked. We were monitoring everything he was doing with panic.
He sucked in Canada.
God, he's sucked forever.
Kevin's coming in here with extra point stats. What are you doing, dude? Just back off.
All right, so that allows KT now to come with a positive.
17 of 17 on extra points. Only three misses so far from field goal range.
Shut up.
You know what? He might be better than what's on the streets.
That's actually a positive.
Do you want to bring in Young
That's
Hoku?
A positive.
Wait, that's a negative. Hold on.
I haven't seen these people on the streets.
Did you see some of the names that were out there? Shane Graham. Like what?
That's one of the actors on Game of Thrones.
We're not doing that, are we? No.
No, he's a pastor.
We're not doing that. We're not bringing in guys like that. Cairo Santos, he missed four last week.
So what are you positive about?
That Maher's better than the guys on the streets.
That's pretty good scramble.
That's pretty good.
I thought his knee was down, and boy, he threw it downfield real quick.
All right. I'm going to be negative. Look, Antoine Woods, one of my favorite personalities in the locker room.
Uh-oh.
He was a career practice squad guy.
Oh, no.
And now he's the savior. He was on the field when they got destroyed by the Rams, and a fat running back ran for 400 yards against him in a playoff game. I like Antoine Woods, and I think he's an upgrade over what they've had. But, dude, let's not act like he's the savior, like he's some Pro Bowl run stopper who, oh, my God, teams are going to be shocked now. They're going to have to contend with Antoine Woods. He's fine, but he ain't football defensive line Jesus.
Ooh. So is that positive, negative, or indifferent?
It's pretty negative.
Yeah. Okay. Guys.
I'm feeling pretty down.
Got a positive.
Oh, no. Oh, good.
I've got a positive.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to submit this evidence, audio evidence.
Okay.
We stay boys. All we have to do is right. But we got to fix our now.
Let's go.
Now.
Got to flip the
or he'll murder us.
Mikey M.
That's not us up there. All right, wipe that shit off. We got to lock the shit back in right now.
That sounds like a preview to a new action flick, but it's actually Marinelli and Rashard on the sideline eating that butt. I mean, they are
what?
Guys.
Is that a good or a bad?
They are That's fired up.
Not a fan of that.
And so just know that if it gets down to it, those guys are going to rally the troops, get everybody angry. You're going to see an inspired defensive effort. Did you guys hear that audio?
Okay, no, I did. Mm-hmm.
That's positive audio.
Okay, so I will ping it and now pong it. And my negative is maybe grown men don't like to be talked to that way.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Now, maybe they need to be talked to.
No, we're just having fun, okay? You guys know I think Chris Richard's a great coach.
It's not that much fun.
While we're having fun here, and this is a negative, you guys remember in Seattle, they didn't want him around anymore.
Ooh.
They didn't want him back.
It's true.
It's not that they didn't want him around anymore. They didn't want him back. They chose to go in a new direction.
Ken Norton Jr.
Did his voice and kind of hardcore, you know, maybe you know, Banny style.
The USC poster.
Wear down the guys. That's a negative. And we're just speculating, but just having fun.
I'm going to let a listener pinch hit for me with some positive. Trey Evans, who tweeted us. He says, this is from Manish Kenya Mehta. He says, Adam Gase says CJ Mosley will be doubtful at best for the Cowboys game. That's a positive.
Positive.
Gase.
That's a positive.
Did you just name drop a guy we went to high school with?
I sure did, Jeff. And for me, it was elementary school. Manish Mehta, but I gave a shout out to the great Manish Kenya. Hey, that's fantastic news. If CJ Mosley can't play, that's a positive.
Absolutely. God, I like where you took it there.
Yep.
Negative?
I'm negative here.
It's your turn.
All right, let's go with, God, this team is so good, it's hard to find negatives.
Okay, championship.
That would be a criticism of you right now.
Have we talked about the fact that Le'Veon Bell can really get it going and we have not stopped the run at all this year? And a lot of people are writing off Le'Veon Bell, but with Sam Darnold coming back, then you have to respect the passing game a little bit more, which means Le'Veon Bell could get off, and this is a team that hasn't really done a good job in the last two games. Stopping the run, so you see where I'm going here.
Statistically, I'm adding on. I'm not taking it from you for my positive.
That's fine.
But statistically, his numbers are poor. But
you're,
like he's been
is
fine
this
year. Like Le'Veon Bell looks the same. He looks like he's got the shake.
You have sexual repression. It's like a Earl Campbell hot link that's been left on the grill. It's waiting to explode. Every once in a while, a little
bit
just
sexual.
A little bit.
What are you doing with the Earl Campbell link, dude? Let the man.
My
relax his thighs in peace. I mean, he did so much running.
My positive is that the Stars got their first win of the season last night.
Yeah, brother. Yes!
The 1-3 Dallas Woo! Stars.
Hey.
Yesterday morning, I tweeted out a poll question, new school poll question. We want you to answer. I tweeted out, will the Stars win a game this season? And most people said, how could anyone know? That was option C.
Yeah,
they
true.
Got the big win last night, securing 2 points. And a little bit of certainty that they won't completely bury themselves like they have the last 6 years.
Right.
So, big one for the Stars.
So, I've got some negativity. They lost their first three games?
Yep.
So, but this is their year.
Yep. Yeah.
Guys, I have a positive.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Coming up next.
Game 5, Rays Astros.
The man who is going to be unveiled and debuted tonight is on the Ringer's Unicorn Rankings. Just how good is Kristaps Porzingis? He's playing tonight. Where is he on the rankings of the greatest freaks in the NBA? We'll get into it next on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Now, before we get into these great unicorn rankings as per the Ringer, and if you don't know what that is, famously Kevin Durant dubbed Kristaps Porzingis the unicorn because he represented this new style big that can do all kinds of things. And so we'll get into that in a minute. You will get your chance to see Porzingis tonight on Fox Sports Southwest. The Luka and Porzingis were held out of last night's game, and me as revved up for the Mavs as I am. I only watched the first half. The good news is that Justin Jackson was really good in the first half. 14 points. He's added 20 pounds of muscle. I think it's very likely he's starting. I think they want him to start. I think they want to have a guy on the floor that you have to worry about offensively with Luka and Porzingis. And I think he's going to eat big because he's going to have a lot of opportunities. And you saw a little bit of that last night. But you will see Porzingis tonight. I can't wait. I cannot wait. I've been looking forward to this since me and you and KT and Dawson and Bassick and Kavanaugh all lost our minds at the Super Bowl. I mean, we were freaking out and jumping up and screaming on Radio Row and all these radio stations. Remember, what is that, WEEI in Boston was right next to us? And they had all these loud blowhards that yelled every segment, and they were shocked by how loud we were screaming.
They were breaking down the Patriots and Rams, and we were going, "We got Porzingis! Whoa!"
Think about random beanhead in Boston having to hear, like, off mic, a bunch of guys yelling about Porzingis during their Super Bowl coverage.
Like, getting ready for the game with Brady.
But I didn't even know it was something that was in the works.
No.
And it's really hard to get a super high-end young superstar, and you know, we've talked about it for a long time. They don't exactly choose Dallas.
No.
That's not something that's been happening. And so we were kind of sitting there just thinking, all right, so Dennis Smith Jr., that's good. We got a little bright future. And then it's like,
Luka,
wait,
dude, but Luka.
Wait, we've got a, yeah, we've got, I'm like, that's, but Dennis Smith Jr. is our second best player.
Right.
And we're watching all these super teams and we're like, we'll get one eventually.
Yeah.
And then, bam, we got one that I never thought would be available, that I thought was untouchable. I mean, he's called a unicorn for a reason. 7'3". He can cross you over. He can hit step-back threes. Arguably the best shot blocker in the league. He's incredible.
He's incredible. And just to kind of put this in perspective, talking about not knowing it was coming. So we do our mix at that point in time. We were doing our mix each day with G-Bag at 240, right? Mm-hmm. At 2:20, Woj, he of the Woj Bomb, was tweeting out the six teams that had a chance to trade for Porzingis, and the Mavs weren't even listed in those six teams. And then 20 minutes later, we had a deal done. So it was a miracle. But to take it one step further, and you go, all right, you guys are overhyping us, blah, blah, blah. So do you think that most people now at least agree that Doncic is a future MVP candidate, or at least, worst case scenario, a future perennial all-star? I mean, are we all okay saying that now after he had one of the greatest rookie seasons in NBA history and then the year before was MVP of the Eurobasket?
Yeah, okay. He was third in the NBA in all-star voting amongst fans.
So we're not overhyping him anymore. Can we operate on that level?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so
he's elite.
So let me take you one step further. So the other guy we're talking about that most of you have only seen a few clips of. We know, as Ben's pointed out many times, you weren't watching Knicks basketball. He hadn't played basketball on the floor in like 20 months. He is in a group of players, according to the Ringer, of Jokic, Antetokounmpo, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, and Karl Anthony Towns. Those are the five players he's being compared to in this story by the Ringer. So let me give you those names again, just so you understand if you're sitting there, you guys are homers. You guys love the Mavs. This is unbiased outlet. This is Bill Simmons' outlet. He is in the group of players of Jokic, the Greek Freak, the Brow, Joel Embiid, and Karl Anthony Towns. Those are the six guys, those five guys in Porzingis is who we're talking about here.
Wow.
All right?
That's elite company.
That's elite company. So this isn't your local superhero Mav homers trying to sell you on something. This is unbiased opinion of grouping these six players.
So Eddie Sefko didn't write this?
Sefko didn't write this. Dwayne Price didn't write this.
This isn't our guys.
This isn't our guy, Bobby Corella.
It's not through our lens.
No, this is through a national basketball lens. Okay, so we're going to go through each category. And I think when you get to the end of this, you'll go, okay, I think all this is fair. The best passer, without a doubt, is Jokic.
Yeah.
Jokic is like a point center.
He's Sabonis.
Right? He's Sabonis. Great comparison, KT. Number two, they have the Greek Freak, and most of that is off the dribble, like kicking stuff off the dribble. Number three, they have a tie of Anthony Davis and Joel Embiid. Then number five, Karl Anthony Towns, and bringing up the rear is Kristaps Porzingis. Now, let me just say this. I'm not going to disagree with this at all, but they're basing it on Porzingis in New York. Did you guys want him to fire a pass over to Courtney Lee right quick?
Okay, so you're saying there wasn't any need for him to be a great passer in New York?
You've heard me use this phrase a lot of times, Ben, end user. It's like a computer chain term. Like I used to call Jerry Stackhouse the end user. He wasn't advancing the ball to the next guy. That shot was going up. That's what Porzingis is. That's what he's going to be here too. I'm not saying he should be ranked higher. I'm just saying it's not like it's a detriment.
Wait. So you're saying he's a good passer as well?
I'm saying we'll see his passing ability more on display
here. There's a 50% chance tonight will be the first time I've ever seen him make a pass.
There you go. There you go.
Sorry, those Christmas Day Nick games were brutal.
No, they're terrible. I'm
agreed.
With you.
Agreed.
All right, let's move on. Best shooter. Number one, Karl Anthony Towns.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with that. Number two, Kristaps Porzingis. Mm. Number three, Jokic. Number four, the Brown. Number five, Joel Embiid. And bringing up the rear, the Greek Freak.
Of course.
I think a month into the season, if they were to redo this, he will be the number one shooter. He's going to make... He's going to be about, I would be, look, these are lofty goals. I think he's going to hover around 40% from three.
Oh, my God.
And then our guy, Bobby Corella, said, don't be surprised if he's putting up eight of those a game.
Nice.
So will he have a higher three-point percentage than Seth Curry? He'll definitely shoot more.
Seth will be around 40, right? 38 to 42.
But he's that level, like among the best of the best in the league.
Yeah, and the other part of it too, Ben, is the quality of the shots that he gets.
Right.
So you know you don't think of about this as just a guy by himself in a gym. You think about where he's going to be on the floor when he's getting this shot and what the floor is going to look like. They're going to be mostly uncontested style shots because your floor is so spaced. And Luka finds everybody everywhere and puts it right in your shot pocket. So all you have to do is catch and release. And so, like a guy like Karl Anthony Towns, like it's impressive to me that he shoots the percentage he shoots because their offense is a cluster F, you know? Mm-hmm. So Porzingis, if you're just basing this off of the shots he got in New York, they were running the damn triangle and he was shooting bailout step back threes. These are going to be clean catch and shoot threes. And if he's not getting them, it's because the center is hugging him. And if the center's hugging him, the Mavs are playing 4-on-4 in the half court. This is going to be a beautifully balanced thing. All right, let's move on to the next category. Best scorer. This is interesting. They have Kristaps Porzingis last.
Okay.
Last. They have Greek Freak number one, Anthony Davis number two. I don't got any problem with that. Embiid three, Karl Anthony Towns four, Jokic five, and Porzingis six. Again, I think this is a function of where he's been playing. You guys have heard me say this. I think Porzingis is a 25 a night scorer.
Yeah.
I think he will average more points than Giannis will average more. I don't know about Anthony Towns. He'll average more than Jokic. Anthony Davis will score a lot because LeBron's going to feed him, but I don't know that they're going to have two 30-point scores, right? Are the Lakers really going to have two 30-point scores? Maybe. But he's too low here. But that's okay, man. We're doing the unbiased thing. This is somebody else talking about all this. Best perimeter defender. They have him second to last. Only Jokic is lower. Obviously, he's not going to defend like the Greek Freak or Anthony Davis or one of those guys. Best rim protector. They have him in the middle of the pack. They have him fourth. Embiid should be number one. Anthony Davis should be number two. They have Giannis ahead of him. I don't agree with that. Then Porzingis, then Townsend, Jokic. So the other day, Shippy looked this up when we were riffing on this. And the last time he played a full season, wasn't he first in the league in block percentage, Shippy?
Isn't that yes, what you said? And he was above Rudy Gobert.
Right. So block percentage has to do with the number of shots that you block when you're on the floor. Gobert is going to block fewer shots because people just straight avoid him. Right? But Porzingis, that's his best aspect defensively, is protecting the rim. And then they do intangibles. They have him last. That's okay. Man, he's been in a bad situation. We'll see if that changes the Greek Freak number one. And finally, best overall, they have him last. They have the Greek Freak first, Anthony Davis second, Embiid third, Jokic fourth, Karl Anthony Towns fifth, Porzingis sixth.
Now, that's fair, especially if you consider that Porzingis hasn't played in a long time.
I totally agree.
But I mean, it's an incredible group to even be a part of.
That's my point.
Because it is the best of the best, the most unique guys. It's why they call them unicorns, guys who are way too gifted and skilled at their height to be normal. It's not even fair.
Right.
Those guys are just too freaking good to be that big. Now, it's all ahead of him. He's on the list. He's invited to the table. Now he gets a chance to go out and play with Luka, the best teammate he's ever played with in the NBA, a guy who is... I mean, it's like Jason Kidd. It's a guy who loves to get you great shots.
Right.
He's going to make you better. And so there's only room for him to move up this list.
Yeah. And, you know, to your point, I think the second best player he's ever played with is aging Carmelo.
Yeah. Oh. Is that your only legitimate concern about him is that his health?
I think that's fair.
I mean, it's the overriding thing, right?
Sure.
Just because he hasn't played in a while.
And they've just gone to great lengths to try to ensure that if he gets hurt again, it's more just a freak injury that happens as opposed to there's some sort of structural damage that's going to limit him moving forward.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they're putting any minute restriction on him that they would put on any other big player. I think they're moving forward like he's completely healthy, he's completely rehabbed, and sky is the limit on this kind of thing. But it's going to be a total blast. Make sure and watch it tonight. And I think this will be fun. I don't know what Detroit is going to roll out, but you're going to see Andre Drummond, a big giant center, out there trying to close out on Kristaps Porzingis three-pointers. And I think you guys are going to see how this offense is going to function this year.
I cannot wait. Okay, so tonight is the first real glimpse.
Yeah, and keep in mind, another big part of their offense when those two guys are on the floor is the Dwight Powell screen and roll, spacing everything out. Powell's not on the trip. Bure's not on the trip. So you'll see Maxi Kleba in that role.
Roby.
Yeah, you'll get
a lot of Roby out there.
Marjanovic is going to get his freak
on. Oh, yeah. You know, I think the one thing I'll say is like two weeks away from the regular season.
Yep.
And I tend to lose interest in, if my teams are too good, I lose interest. Because I start, especially in the league, okay, well, I know, I'm thinking about the year, and it's not because they lost the finals of 06, but 07, and it might have been because I was a sophomore in college, but the Mavericks won so many games that year, and they were the one seed.
Right.
And I just didn't have a ton of interest in that regular season because I knew they were going to make the playoffs. So even though the West is stacked and it's going to be tough to make the playoffs, I find myself a little more intrigued, not only because of the talent of the team, but because it's going to have that every game matters type vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that because, yeah, you know, you want them to make the playoffs or whatever. Then I like getting locked into a Tuesday night game because I feel like that matters. And if you start chasing like a, it's almost like a pennant race that gets real tense in the last month. Well, it's like this, I'm kind of viewing it as like a 6-month pennant race. And
yeah,
you need to get off to a good start. Like, that's very important. So
there's very few missteps.
I'm locked in.
Yeah, there's very few missteps that are allowed on this. They got to get off to a good start. And to your whole point, I mean, I think it comes down to what you want. If you're the kind of person that's going to be mad if the Mavs aren't a top three seed, you're going to hate this season. But if you look at it, if you enjoyed 2001, in 2002, when the Mavericks were putting Dirk and Nash, and to me, this is what this is going to feel like.
Right.
And is that kind of fun?
I think the perspective of seeing a journey in, the greatest individual journey maybe we've been on here in Dallas-Fort Worth with Dirk's career come to an end. Mm-hmm. If anything, this has reminded us to cherish the entire ride.
Yes. Yeah.
From the beginning to the end. And we would all love to go back in time, knowing Dirk was going to be what he was,
mm-hmm,
and do it all over again and watch it happen. This isn't that, but this is clearly the beginning of something incredibly special, so savor every minute of it without super high expectations. Just enjoy the ride.
And I also think, though, like I think all that's, like, you can also like expedite things a little bit, too. I'm thinking of the last couple years with the Bucks. Even we saw it with the Raptors. We saw it with the Jazz. How teams have to go learn how to win in the playoffs. Even the Nuggets last year, teams have to go learn how to win in the playoffs. So if you can get in and get a series and just have a little bloodbath in a playoff series, that will expedite things.
Yep.
In terms of winning bigger things in the future. So.
For sure.
All right.